Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
It's a free-for-all Friday, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234. Whenever you need them, 24 hours a day, because you know what, Raider Nation? You deserve what's right. So thanks to them. Scott Culbranson back with you here on a Friday. We hope you're ready for the weekend, a big, big NFL playoff weekend. Of course, your Raiders not there, but that's okay. Still a lot of good football to watch. Still a lot of Raider talk to get on the air today. You can be a part of it and do so. Give us a call on the Raider Nation Radio Listener Hotline. 702-365-9200 is the number. You can also text me. That's right. The Sam and Ash text line 69187. The letters R and R, then the question in your name or your comment in your name. Of course, always keep it clean so we can keep it on the air, right? We want to get you on the air. But a lot to get to today on this edition of Silver and Black Today. Of course, we'll get to the top of the news, but we'll also talk with our winners and losers segment that we just introduced this week. We'll get to that as well. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the NFL coaching search. I just had on, of course, the Fritz Pollard executive director, Rod Graves, on Monday to talk about minority hiring in the league. There's some of you out there who believe, for example, that out of all the coaches, there have been three coaches named, of course, Robert Saleh to the Jets today, Urban Meyer to the Jaguars. Some of you asking, why hasn't Eric Bieniemy got a job? And most people believe it's because of his color of his skin. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll talk, give you some NFL picks for the weekend. Then at 3 o'clock, Michael Troiano, our in-house criminal defense attorney, of course, a sponsor here at Raider Nation Radio. He's going to be on. We're going to kind of put a ribbon on the Josh Jacobs arrest, the facts that we got over the last week, and how the charges of driving under the influence were dropped for Josh Jacobs. So we'll talk to Michael Troiano about that at 3 o'clock. Then at 3:30, get ready to get your notebook out and get ready to make some money. Jeff Parles from Book It HQ will be here. We're going to give him our picks, but Jeff's going to tell us, in his professional opinion, where you go this weekend. If you're going to put some action down on these football games, who do you go with? Do you go with the favorites? Do you go with some of the dogs? How are you going to do it? He will talk with us, Jeff Parles, at 3:30. Then at 3:50, to end the show, we'll visit with Vinny Bonsignor. He'll be on with In the Huddle at 4 o'clock. We'll get caught up with all the news out of Raider Nation with Vinny, as we do almost every day here on Silver and Black. But thanks for being with us, guys. Appreciate you being here. And we went to the backyard of the radio station. You ready for this? We went outside. There's a shed. There's a metal shed, and in that metal shed is a very talented young man. That young man, of course, is our producer, David Stepanian. David helps us book guests here. He's a producer on the show, does amazing work. So we let him out of the shed today, and he's going to join me on the air today. David, how you doing on a Friday? You ready for the weekend?
Oh, man, I'm excited, Scott. And let me just tell you, thanks for letting me out of the shed on such a beautiful day in Las Vegas. I really needed some fresh air.
Yeah, I know you did. And you've worked really hard. You helped make this show great again this week. So we appreciate it. So we're going to do that and get you out and get you on the air a little bit today and talk some football. But, you know, the kind of the fallout still around the Gus Bradley hire continues. And, of course, you know, most of Raider Nation, and I don't know if you agree, you know, David also, by the way, David's a lifelong Raider fan, Los Angeles Raiders. It started there. But, David, you know, you look at the hiring of Gus Bradley. Overall, the mood of Raider Nation is very good and very supportive. Not everybody, of course. That's never the way it goes down. But overall, I'm seeing a pretty positive reaction. Are you seeing the same?
Yeah, I'm seeing the exact same thing, Scott. And let me tell you, I think it's just because Raider Nation was ready for a change of pace. They're ready for a new defensive coordinator. We got it with Gus Bradley. And I definitely feel the same way. I think the fans are just looking ahead. That's plain and simple.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, Raider Nation, we talk about it every day here, David. Raider Nation just wants to win. You know, they want this defense to turn around because they know it's the biggest impediment to this team making the playoffs at this point. So we did our sided debate of the week. We do Raider Nation debate of the week. We had said, how do you feel about the Raiders hiring Gus Bradley, right? So the choices in this debate were, it's a great hire, let's go. Meh, could have been better and not a good hire. Here we go. And actually, the great hire and the people who are like, indifferent about it, tied at exactly 41.67%. So that's not surprising. We didn't get a lot of responses that were worthy of reading on the air. A lot of people just answered it quickly. But Bob Rauch, who answered up on Sided, one of our listeners, says, not a bad hire, not exactly a wizard of the defense, but better than most out there. So I'm hearing some of that. I think that, you know, everyone or a good segment of a really hardcore group of Raider Nation wanted Wade Phillips, right? And Wade Phillips was just not going to happen. As much as I like the idea myself too, David, he doesn't have a relationship with John Gruden, and he runs a 3-4, and John Gruden made it very clear he wanted to do a 4-3.
Yeah, and I think the big thing too with Gus Bradley is he's just familiar with the AFC West already, and I think that's going to be critical for the Raider team that kind of struggled against AFC West opponents the past couple of years.
Yeah.
No. So when you look at it from that perspective, a guy who's familiar with these other teams, a guy who's going to come in here and the defense is a glaring hole for this team. I think you just got to stay positive.
Yeah, no doubt.
And just see where it goes from here. And I think that's what fans are doing.
Well, and he needs talent too, right? I mean, we look at what's going on with this Raiders roster on defense, and there's been a lot of talk this week as the news cycle for the Raiders has completely shut down after the hire, pretty much because right now they're going to fill coaching vacancies, and then after the Super Bowl, but there'll be some roster decisions to make. But until then, everybody's just kind of left out there, and Raiders fans are jonesing for information and conversation. Luckily, they have Raider Nation Radio to listen to all day. Mm-hmm. But you start hearing about guys like Q and I have talked about for weeks here, which is like Leonard Williams, right? So Leonard Williams, they need help on the defense. I'm starting to see this kind of narrative out there. Well, yeah, Leonard Williams is great, but he's going to be so expensive, and that's going to be too expensive for the Raiders at defensive tackle. And so they're going to need to go get a defensive tackle in the draft. The problem is, David, in the defensive tackle category in the draft, you have one first rounder, and then you get past that. That's Barrymore from Alabama. Once you get past him, you're talking second or third round, maybe a first, maybe a day one pick here and there, because they're so lacking in the area of defensive tackles in this draft that some of their values might move up just because there's needs for it. But I just don't think, David, I think a guy like Leonard Williams or someone like that, I know he's on the inside and they need an edge rusher too. But to me, David, I think they've got to go with a veteran. They can't just rely, especially from a pass rush perspective, they can't just rely on. I think they need a veteran up front, and I think they need a veteran on the back end.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about Leonard Williams is the Raiders have been a team that notoriously don't want to spend on defense. And you're absolutely right. Leonard Williams, when it's all said and done, he could be a top five highest paid defensive guy in the league. I think he's going to get somewhere close to $20 million.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a team that famously didn't want to pay Khalil Mack, you know, and I think there's a lot of hype behind Leonard Williams coming here to Vegas, but is the team going to want to pay? I think we got to see what the salary cap situation looks like here in the off season. But I think he would be crucial to the Raiders. I think he had 11 and a half sacks last season, career high, right? He had one great season. He was pretty quiet the past few years before that. Mm-hmm. So it's also a big risk. I mean, I could also understand if the Raiders don't want to pay him just based off of this one fantastic season. So there's a lot of questions. Also, are the Giants coming off that franchise tag? Are the Giants going to swoop in there and re-sign Leonard Williams? I think they wish they did. I think they kind of regret putting that franchise tag on him.
Well, but they could also franchise tag him again.
Yeah, again, right? Yeah, and that's a total possibility. Also, how about franchise tagging him and then trading him? Who knows what's going to happen? But this is such an iffy situation. I think he would be great for the Ravens. I think you pay the man. I absolutely think he's worth the money, worth the risk. This is a team that's taken risks before and has failed. So I think Leonard Williams is worth the risk. Take a shot at him, pay him. But anything can happen. He could stay with New York.
Yeah, no doubt. What do you guys think? 702-365-9200 is the number to get on the air here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio, your station, of course, if you are a card-carrying citizen of Raider Nation. Coming up in just a minute is winners and losers. And, you know, David, I think the other thing is they got to look at the edge position, and they got a supplement there. And I think that if you look at, depending what they do in the draft, if they were to move up, they might be able to get a really good player there. But again, I think you need to go get somebody, and I wouldn't mind them looking for a young player, but then going out and getting somebody who might be trade bait or might be a salary cap victim this year, because with the salary cap with COVID and the fact that we know it's going to come down significantly, that you might be able to get a J.J. Watt or somebody like that. And yeah, okay, that's not a guy who's going to be around for 6 or 7 years, but he is a guy who can come in and instantly improve that pass rush so that this team with this offense, which should only get better, can get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree, Scott. And I feel like the defense is going to be the big fix in this offseason. They're going to – it should have been happening for years now, but I think this is the season Mayock goes in and he makes some big free agent signings. And I think when you look into the draft, look at the need, what are the best players you can get at whatever position you have in the draft. I think that's what we're going to see this year. I think a lot of fans are going to be happy when it's all said and done. I have trust in Mayock. I think he knows. I think the fans know everyone is sort of breathing down his neck to fix this defense. Gus Bradley was the first sort of piece of that puzzle. So I think a lot of fans are happy with that. I think we're going to see more moves towards a positive end game.
No doubt. And I think that it's a pivotal year. You have to turn the corner this year. There's no more 8-8. I don't even think 9-7 is acceptable next year. They got to win a couple more games and continue to show progress. And with the offense they have and the money they have invested on that side of the ball and the money they're about to invest, I believe, in the defensive side of the ball, it's time to get into the playoffs. Where you go past that, we'll see. But you need to build a team that's ready. You have windows. You have windows in professional sports, right? And you have to be able to build them. This is not college. This is not Alabama with this juggernaut, which is going to go on for 10 or 15 years. It's got to be something that you can turn quickly and you have a 3-year window period to run towards a championship. So we'll see how that goes. All right. It's the time of the day where we break out this day's winners and losers in sports.
In life and sports, not everyone gets it right. The line between brilliance and ignorance is a fine one. And Scott is here to call them out. It's time for today's winners and losers.
That's right. We take no prisoners here. Winners and losers today, myself and, of course, David Stepanian, who is guest co-hosting with me. We will go through our winners and losers of the day. For me, it's a Friday. It's a playoff weekend. To me, the winner this day is you, the NFL fans. I know you're Raider fans, but overall, I know you all love football. NFL fans, the Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens game is going to be a great one. The weather's not going to be great, of course. Evan Grote was on with me yesterday. He lives up in Buffalo, New York. The weather, 50% chance of snow. It's going to be windy. It's going to be somewhat nasty. So this might not be a big passing game, but both these quarterbacks can run. And David, I think we all win because of that, because you have two of the young quarterbacks, the future of this league, in Lamar Jackson, last year's MVP, okay, and Jared Allen on the other side for the Buffalo Bills. And to me, this is a game, and we're going to talk about the betting side of it later, but to me, this game, as far as must-watch television, is the game of the weekend.
I think so too, Scott. And I really liked what Danny Heifetz yesterday said. If you go on some of these guys' Instagrams and they're not wearing a coat in any picture, then it's usually a bad sign for these bad weather games. I just love that. And I totally agree. I think just a quick sort of side note on those betting. I like the under on all these betting props, Josh Allen yards, or I think go under. I think the weather is going to have a huge effect. And I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I think the fans should be really excited for it. The Ravens have just looked so good the past 5 or 6 weeks, and the Bills are just such a fun story. Yeah, I think the fans are going to love this game.
All right, David, who's your winner for the day?
I was actually really excited to talk about this, Scott. My big winner, Nickelodeon. Their TV ratings came in for their NFL broadcast, their highest ratings since 2016. Over 2 million people watched that Saints-Bears game on Nickelodeon. I don't know if you caught any of the action. It seemed like there was 2 million memes on this game, too, man. Everybody was talking about this game on Twitter that day, and it was a huge success for Nickelodeon. So I think families are the winner, too, because I think we're going to see more of these Nickelodeon games.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the week, too, David, and I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I was on Christopher Gabriel's program on ESPN in Fresno, and we talked a lot about it because I think it's brilliant. And I brought up the point Major League Baseball needs to pay attention because this is how Major League Baseball mm-hmm. – could perhaps become more relevant with young people again, with kids, to get them to watch the game. So not only is the NFL leading the way again and innovating, but I think other sports can learn as well. All right, my big loser of the day, and this is a hard one because I like the guy a lot. He's entertaining. I love to watch him and just hear what comes out of his mouth, and that is Charles Barkley. He's my big loser for the day. Charles Barkley yesterday said pro athletes should, quote, jump the line for COVID vaccines due to the fact that they pay high taxes. Here's the quote from him. 300 million shots, give 1,000 to some NBA players, NFL players, hockey players, Barkley said. As much taxes as these payers play, let me repeat that, as much taxes as these players pay, they deserve some preferential treatment. Now, it's surprising from Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley is usually kind of a realist and he talks down at a level I think all of us understand and people understand, and he usually is kind of for the small guy. But Charles, are you kidding me? So Kyrie Irving, who won't even get on the court for his Brooklyn Nets, which is a disaster, he should get the shot before some 68-year-old woman who is in the highest risk factor who can't leave her home for a year. You're telling me that these privileged athletes – now, they deserve what they get. They have an unbelievable skill. Don't get me wrong. But you're going to tell me that they deserve the shot and a better chance of not getting coronavirus because they pay high taxes? I mean, David, I think it's asinine.
Yeah, Scott, I really think this is just one of those cases where he didn't think before he spoke.
Yeah.
And it's inexcusable. I mean, just hearing what he said, I don't even know if he believes it. I couldn't believe when I saw that headline too. Thought I was like, is he? I thought I had to do a double take. I couldn't believe it. But I don't even know if he believes what he's saying. I think give him another chance. I think he would take those statements back.
No, I still love Charles, and I know we all sometimes say things in the heat of the moment. We don't think them through, and then we regret them. So we'll see what happens there. David, your loser for the day.
Similar situation. I like this guy too overall. But he said something yesterday that just didn't sit well with me. Pete DeBoer, coach of the Golden Knights, he said that he's not going to reveal the goalie lineup for any Golden Knights game until game time, all season long. He's not going to let us know who the goalie is until puck drop. And that just doesn't sit well with me as a man who loves to bet on these games and just for fans in general. I think the NHL has to step in here. I think we got to know the lineups a few hours before the game, like the NBA does. You can't hold something as big as Marc-Andre Fleury or Robin Leonard. You can't hold that away from the fans. I think you're doing a disservice to the VGK fans. And when you have partnerships with William Hill, Caesars, MGM, you can't hold that kind of information away.
No, and I'm always suspect of any organization. And I'm not talking about strategy around game planning or any of that stuff. But when you have a sports organization that is not transparent, and let's face it, I'm a Golden Knights fan. I don't cover them, so I can just be a fan. But I'm also going to be critical because I think their organization has never been transparent. I think their organization has always done things that seem a little bit underhanded when it comes to information. Now, they treat their fans well. They treat their season ticket holders well. They do good things in the community, taking nothing away from that. But I think there's another example. Why are you doing that? Because you can't manage your goalie. And now Marc-Andre Fleury, of course, the playoffs last year and the infamous picture from his agent with a sword in his back and all that stuff. I understand why, to a certain degree, he's doing it. But that's ridiculous. That shows a lack of leadership on my part. You're the head coach of a National Hockey League team. You should be able to share who your starting goaltender is without any sensitivities or any issues. Why? Because you're afraid the media is going to make a big deal out of it? Hey, man, put on your big boy pants, earn your money as a coach in the NHL, and shut up and tell us who the goalie is. So I agree with you, man. I think it's pretty stupid for that one. So good stuff. Well, that's our winners and losers for the day. Good job, David. See, we got to let you out of the shed more often.
I think so too, Scott. It's the weather's getting much better, so I appreciate it.
All right. Of course, we're kidding. We don't keep David in the shed. But we're going to go. We're going to take one phone call here since he's been patient before we get to the break. It is Raider Loke. Raider Loke, you're on with Scott and David here on Silver and Black today.
Delayed Raider Loke, by the way. It's been a while since I called.
That's all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Good, brother.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to talk on the Gus Bradley signing. I know I might be beating a dead horse or sounding redundant, but I'm high on the signing as well. I know his track record with the Seattle Seahawks is a good one. He knows how to discover and develop talent, and that's one of the things that Gruden didn't mention in the presser when he was looking for his next DC. But some of the free agents that I believe will come over and actually help this front D-line to come, because I know Gus Bradley doesn't really blitz or anything like that. I know he relies on the front four to get home. So I believe Leonard Williams, I mean, I know he's going to demand probably a ton of money, but I believe that's one of the free agents that we should definitely get. We've definitely been missing someone in the middle. I know we got Maurice Hurst and possibly Jonathan Hankins might get re-signed, but we're really just missing the force in the middle. And I believe Corey Littleton, he will strive from that. And I believe, and I know that's, and that could be probably one of the reasons why he didn't have a great of a season. I know we lacked in the middle, and I know Aaron Donald, and I know at the Rams they had Aaron Donald. He really strived there, so I believe having Leonard Williams, Littleton will succeed. And not just that, but Q mentioned it in his morning podcast this morning, where I know DeNico Autry's contract is up at the Colts, but maybe that's one guy that I consider at the edge. I know we got Max Crosby and Farrell to be our starting DEs, but maybe. Put him in the mix in the rotation and with Nassib and maybe Key, I think that'll be a good rotation and keep the guys fresh on the D lines, and Gus Bradley only rushes forward to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Raider Loke, and thanks for your call, man. Listen, I think you need an edge guy, and if it's Autry, that's fine, or one of the other guys, and I think you need somebody inside. I think you need both places. Look, you wait for your young players to develop. Cleveland Farrell had a better year than people think he did, but he did not rush the quarterback. In this league, as Gus Bradley said in his press conference as he took the job, you have to disrupt the quarterback in today's NFL. It's great if you stop the run. It's great if you jump guys off the line and do all that, but you have to be able to get to the quarterback, especially, remember, you're in the AFC West. Guess what? You have Patrick Mahomes. Now you have Justin Herbert. So now you have two very, very good quarterbacks in the NFL, including, to me, the best player in the NFL, which is Mahomes. And if you don't disrupt them, you're not going to win. And you have to strive to win the division. So I agree with you 100%. They got to go out and do that. And I don't think they can just do it in the draft. I think they need, as Q and I call them, alpha dogs. You need somebody who's going to scare the crap out of a quarterback when they line up opposite them. So it'll be good. All right, one more caller, Raider Vader. Raider Vader, you're on with Scott and David here on Silver and Black today. Raider Vader, you there?
Doing well, man.
Hey, man.
Happy Friday, you guys. Hey, I was going to ask you two things, Scott, or, you know, David, either way. You guys could both answer. It's okay. But I was going to ask, like, okay, first, on the quarterback subject. Okay, so I do believe that Derek absolutely is the number one starting quarterback for our team going into this season. But I was going to ask, since we've seen Mariota play one game and we actually saw Nathan Peterman, I think, take a few snaps this season too, just based upon that judgment, who do you guys think would be the number starting two quarterback? That's my first question. And then my second question is just because it's Friday, I kind of want to make it fun. Hopefully everyone out there is having a good Friday as well. But my favorite memory as a Raider, being a Raider fan, is just the AFC Championship game back in 2002. You know, it felt like we were on top of the world when we beat the Tennessee Titans. And I was just going to ask, what was your guys' favorite Raider moment or, you know, an experience or anything like that? That'd be great to hear.
Sure. You know, I'll answer the first question. I'll let David answer the second one. On the first one, it's Marcus Mariota. If you can hold on to him, and I say hold on to him from the perspective, Raider Vader, that not that there's everybody beating their door down to go get Marcus Mariota, but they're going to have to pay him. They have to pay him a large amount of money on a contract to keep him around next year. If they do that, that's fine, but they also can't do that at the expense of not improving that defense and filling other holes, including maybe even on the offensive line. So to me, it's going to be Marcus Mariota if they have the money. If they don't and they have to cut him loose, or if he's willing to stay for less, which I don't know that he would be, but if he was, then I say it's Marcus Mariota. If not, it could be Nathan Peterman, and then I would expect the Raiders later in the draft to go out and maybe get a young quarterback just to kick the tires on for the future and see if they can develop somebody over the next couple of years, that one. But for you, David, your favorite moment as a Raiders fan?
Man, there's so many great moments as a fan, but my favorite, the one that made me happiest, was the day they announced they're coming to Las Vegas. I mean, that was to me, I was on cloud nine. I haven't felt like that since then. I hope to feel that way again this season. They allow some fans, but that day, I immediately put in my $100 deposit. That was my favorite memory as a Raider fan.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, yeah, living here in Las Vegas, especially, I know you grew up in the Los Angeles area, so that's how you became a Raider fan, but they left. So the fact that you came to Las Vegas to go to school and stayed here, and then they moved here, it's a common story, actually. You hear a lot of people from Los Angeles here in the area who talk about the same thing, so that's cool. Raider Vader, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it. All right, it's time to take our first break. When we come back, David and I are going to talk about the NFL coaching search carousel. Three jobs now gone is the third one named today. We'll tell you about that. We'll also talk about the minority hiring issue. A lot of you think that Eric Bieniemy is not getting a job just because he's black. If that is the case, then there's a big problem, no doubt. We talked about it with Rod Graves from the Fritz Pollard Alliance on Monday, but we want to talk to you about it too. 702-365-9200. Be a part of the show. You can get on here with Dave and I and chat Raiders and NFL football. We'll be back in just a minute here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
It's Friday, baby. Oh, yeah. You feeling it? Do you have your adult beverage open yet? As soon as I get off there, I'm having one. I don't know about you. I'm going to make an old-fashioned, some bourbon. Good stuff, man. I'm getting ready for it. It's been a long, long week. I don't know if you've had a long week, but I have. But it's good to be here with you guys. That's right, talking with Raider Nation. This is Silver and Black today, powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at samandashlaw.com. These are not these egotistical, pompadour-haired attorneys. These are really good people. They care about you. They want to make sure you get what's right. So check out samandashlaw.com. Scott Gulbranson, along riding shotgun with me today is David Stepanian. Some breaking news at this hour. Breaking news. The Raiders have signed a quarterback. Oh, no. It's not going to be anybody who challenges Derek Carr. It is Kyle Slaughter. And you're saying to yourself, who the hell is Kyle Slaughter? Well, he was signed to a reserve future contract today. 6'5", 218-pound quarterback from Northern Colorado. The Broncos selected him at the end, or I should say signed him as a free agent, at the end of the 17 draft. And he's been a little bit everywhere. He's made stints with the Broncos, Vikings, Cardinals, Lions, and with the Chicago Bears. And he has not appeared in a contest in his entire career. So, not a big deal, but I just wanted to pass along the news as the Raiders sent over a press release today. So what's the book on Kyle Slaughter, David?
Well, he hasn't even played. He's only been on practice squad. So I think, right. Yeah, he's just going to be a practice squad guy.
You think? He's a blank book is what he is.
But hey, we'll see. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he gets a big break here. Maybe we get some injuries. I hope not, but I don't know.
Yeah,
he's a practice squad guy, though.
That's a favor for somebody. That's all I can say. But anyway, that's the big that's the big roster news. Big roster news for the Raiders. Coming up, by the way, at the top of the hour, just to let you know, attorney Michael Troiano. Will be with us. He is a local criminal defense attorney. Good sponsor here at Raider Nation Radio as well. Michael's going to be on. We're going to put a ribbon around the Josh Jacobs accident, the Josh Jacobs arrest, the subsequent then dropping of DUI charges on Josh Jacobs, which is good for everybody involved. And thank goodness nobody was hurt. But we're going to talk to Michael about that, and we'll talk to him about the law. Whereas did Josh Jacobs get any preferential treatment from the DA? We'll ask that question. He was under the legal limit. There's no question. But if you and I were at a 0.69, would we get prosecuted? I don't know. We're going to ask Michael and see what he has to say. He's got a lot of experience in the area. That's what he does for a living. So I know he'll improve our knowledge around the subject. 702-365-9200 is the number. David, so what I want to talk about is the coaching search situation around the NFL. Of course, Robert Saleh went to the Jets. That's a big hire. For, of course, the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. We know Urban Meyer to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was a big splash. We talked about it on yesterday's show because that Moribund franchise really needed some good news and a face, and now they get it, and they're going to get Trevor Lawrence to add to that as well. Also, at this hour, Arthur Smith was named the head coach of the Falcons. He, of course, was the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, and that kind of team that had been going on and done well the last couple of years, clearly. And so you look at these jobs, there's still three big jobs available, right? You have the Chargers, you have the Eagles, and what's the third one I'm missing? I'm forgetting one. Oh, the Texans, right? So there's four spots now filled, or three spots now filled. There's three more to go. But I'm seeing, too, and David, you helped book Rod Graves on the show this week,
yeah,
from the Fritz Pollard Alliance, and we talked a lot about it. And I think it's an important subject around minority hiring in the league and making sure that there's chances for young coaches of color for a chance to get jobs. But I'm starting to see already people going to the, oh, see, here we go again. Eric Bieniemy's not going to get a job, and there's still three jobs open.
Look, Scott, Eric Bieniemy is going to get a job. I have almost no doubt about it. So I don't want to like shift it to like a betting odds perspective, but he's more than likely going to be the Eagles' next head coach. I mean, after Lincoln Riley yesterday, did he say Lincoln Riley would only leave Oklahoma for the Cowboys? He said something like
something to that effect. Yes.
Yeah. So Lincoln Riley's not going anywhere. I think him and Bieniemy were the top two targets for Philly. Now that just leaves Bieniemy. You can't even bet on it anymore because it just looks like Bieniemy's going to Philly. But I don't think we're going to see much news on this until after the season ends.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I think that's ridiculous. No, I agree. I think it's absolutely absurd. I think it's just a wait and see sort of situation. It has nothing to do with race. It's just we're waiting and seeing. We want to see how the season plays out.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is as I want to say that all candidates are not built the same either. And I'm not talking, I mean, Eric Bieniemy, there's other candidates out there. Remember, with Saleh going to the Jets, he's the first Muslim head coach in the NFL. Right. So his descent and his religion, that's a big deal, too. That's different. That's never happened before. OK, so I mean, it's a interesting tidbit that occurred out of that hiring. And there's general manager who was hired, who's African-American. And look, I'm not saying that there still isn't an issue. I wouldn't have had Rod Graves on our show if I didn't believe in exploring the subject and making sure that we all talk about it. But at the same time, I don't know. Does Eric Bieniemy interview poorly? I don't know. And, you know, there's some great journalists out there who said, oh, how could he interview poorly? Here's my interview with him. Well, a TV interview and an interview in front of an owner and a general manager,
where you have to
lay out, as in essence, the CEO of the football operation, your plan for how you build a team, how you run a team, how you're going to select a staff, all that stuff comes into play. And again, I'm not saying Eric Bieniemy doesn't deserve a job, because I actually think he does. So you're not going to get an argument from me there. But I think people jump to conclusions so quickly now. Now, if all six of these jobs are filled and Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job, okay, you can ask the question, but I ask the question to you guys out there, and you can call 702-365-9200. Is that the only, can you tell me that would be the only reason why he's not hired? He is such a great coach, and he's done so much that he deserves a job no matter what. I don't think you can make that argument.
He's done a lot in KC, and I think he'd be a great fit in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I just can't see a scenario where, like you just said, all these coaching positions are filled Eric Bieniemy is still the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. I can't really see that scenario. I think he's the next guy to get hired, quite frankly.
Yeah, and but if he wasn't, Dave, I mean, David, just for the sake of argument, if he wasn't hired, do we know, are we going to make the jump and say the reason he was not hired was only because of the color of his skin?
I don't even think we should go that far just yet at that point. I don't even know if we should go that far if he doesn't get hired. But like you said, maybe he doesn't interview poorly. Maybe teams are just looking for someone else, a more defensive-minded coach. Who knows? But I think if it would be stupid for a team to not hire the best coach available just for race alone. I can't see that happening. If you want to win games, you're going to hire the best coach you can. No question about it. So that's my thing.
Well, and you heard Rod Graves talk to us this week, and he said, look, the issue is making sure that there is opportunities for people to interview for these roles. And, yeah, the Rooney Rule, and he, as he talked about, the Rooney Rule was just a small guide. It's not really what's going to make sure that there's equity in hiring across the NFL. And then, but the question I ask is not because I'm opposed to Eric Bieniemy, but the question I'm asking, and I want an honest intellectual conversation around, is that if someone doesn't get a job, and I'm not saying, you know, if every single coach that is of color doesn't get a job in the NFL, then clearly I can see where you jump to some conclusions. But do you jump to the conclusion that if Eric Bieniemy somehow doesn't get a head coaching role, that it's only because he's a minority? And I don't know. I don't want to believe it, maybe, and maybe that's why I can't get there, because I don't think that way. I don't think in terms of disqualifying people because of their sex or because of the color of their skin. And so maybe it's a foreign thing, and maybe there are people out there who do that. I don't know. I've not encountered it myself. I know there's people out there who've encountered it in their everyday life. But to me, you know, you look at Eric Bieniemy, I think you look at Eric Bieniemy and you see all the good, but you don't see the challenges. You don't see that he doesn't call all the plays in Kansas City, by the way. It's by committee there. Andy Reid and several other coaches help him. I'm not diminishing what Eric Bieniemy's done, because if you hear the Chiefs players talk about him as a coach, they all love him and would go to the mat for him. And I know he's an excellent coach. I'm not taking that away from him. But I'm saying that if there are people out there who have concerns over some of the things he does or doesn't do, you can't just dismiss those because you have another narrative.
Like I just said, the only thing I could say is I would be pretty surprised if he doesn't get a head coaching job with how many openings there are still remaining. Yeah. So maybe you could – then you could at least – make an argument for it, but I wouldn't make that leap of faith just yet. I think you could at least have that conversation if he doesn't get hired.
I agree. No, I mean, I agree. You can go into the reasons, but what I want to see though is if he doesn't get hired, that has to be part of the conversation. There's no question. But at the same time, what other reasons could there be? I just want to see other reasons, because
it's too early right now to talk about it.
And that was my initial point. So thank you for bringing me home, David. I appreciate that, man.
That's why I'm on with you.
You guys tell me what you think. Give us a call, 702-365-9200 here on Silver and Black Day. We're going to take a break when we come back. David, we're going to share what we're going to do is we're not talking to Jeff Parles, who's our in-house expert on picking games. He's coming up at 3:30. But what David and I are going to do is we're going to spend the last segment of this hour giving you some of our picks and talking about why we're picking it. We also put our picks up on Tally site. You'll see us during the next segment. We'll both tweet out our picks so you can track our progress and see if we're full of it or if we're actually helping win some money for you and others, including ourselves out there. So you can check that out here. But we're going to pick those games coming up next right after this break. You're with Dave and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Here we are back on Silver and Black Today. Scott Colbranson, joined by our producer, who's usually not on the air, but he's on the air with me today, and that, of course, is David Stepanian. A text on the Salmon Ash text line, which you can text 69187, the letters RNR, then your question, comment, and your name. This one comes from our good buddy Fabian. Says, Scar, I haven't been able around much, just getting over COVID. Temps finally normal since Tuesday, but still have a slight cough. Fabian, man, we're glad that you're doing better. Please get better. We can't wait to get you back on the phone lines. And so from the entire staff here at Silver and Black Today and at Raider Nation Radio, Fabian, get better, my man. Can't wait for you to call in. Now we're going to go back out on the Raider Nation Radio listener hotline and bring in Alan. Alan, what's going on this Friday?
Hey, what's happening, Scott? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I want to comment on the head coaching hires with Eric Bieniemy. I hope he gets hired by the Texans or even the Chargers. I really want him to get the Chargers job. He'll have a quarterback with Justin Herbert, and I hope I don't get chastised for saying that, being in the division. But, as a Raider, as Al Davis said, he wanted the best players, the best coaches, and he wanted to be in the biggest games, and he wanted to fight against the biggest names, the biggest coaches, and the biggest teams, you know. I hope it's not a white versus black thing. You know, it sucks what happened to Anthony Lynn in Los Angeles, but I really hope he does get this job. I hope it's not simply just because of his color. You know, he definitely knows his offense. He knows his game, and he's been with Andy Reid for years. I can only imagine what he knows.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Alan. I think he's a good coach, and I think I've always thought, to me, and David believes really, that he'll end up in Philadelphia, which I think is a good call. I always thought that Houston would be great for him because you have the quarterback down there too that could run his offense, and yes, they're rebuilding down there, and yes, that organization has kind of been a mess. But I think it'd be a great fit for him. But for whatever reason, that hasn't happened. But I agree with David. I think he'll get a job, and we'll see how it all goes down. But Alan, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. Take care now. All right. So there's Alan. So okay, we're gonna get to some picks here now. David is bets more than I do. I've gotten better at it this year, David. I've been working at it. But what we do is our entire Silver and Black Today team, we work with the folks at Tally Site. Tally Site lets us pick the games, and then you get to see who actually does well in the media. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give you our picks for the weekend. Mine are much more for entertainment purposes, although I had a pretty good record the past several weeks, including some NBA picks. But let's start with the Rams and the Packers. I have this one, Dave. I'm just giving you the spread on this one. We're keeping it real simple here. But I have this one. I just don't see the Rams, as good as that defense is, and I give them credit with Aaron Donald. You know, it's hard, I think, for a team to go. I just think Aaron Rodgers at home with the weapons he has now on offense, I think that 6.5 spread, I like Green Bay in that game, David.
I'm going to have to kind of disagree with you a little bit there.
How dare you?
But I agree. I think it's going to be a good game, but I really like that Jalen Ramsey matchup with Devontae Adams. But because of this, I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I like the Rams +7. I still like the Packers to win the game, but Rams +7 in a lot of hotels, a lot of casinos. I like the Rams. I'll take the touchdown.
Okay, so you got the Rams. I have the Packers. And these will both be on Tally Site. So when we bring David on next week, I can claim victory.
When I go 4-0.
All right, and then we have Cleveland at the dreaded Kansas City Chiefs for Raider fans. I think Cinderella, it's midnight, and I think Kansas City rolls in this game, and I'm gonna give the 10 points in the Chiefs.
I that's too many points for me. Let me tell you what I really love. The Browns are 3-1 in their last four first halves. The Chiefs are 1-5 in their last six first halves. I love the Browns +6.5 in the first half. I think they're going to, I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I think they keep it close for much of the game. I think the Chiefs win, but for the whole game, I'll take +10, but I love the first half +6.5.
Okay. So you like the first half +6.5, but you're okay with me at 10. You're with me.
If I got to do the whole game, I think double digits is too much. I think that Cleveland keeps it close.
Oh, I see. I think that Kansas City offense is ready to unhook
the weights and let loose and go nuts. So I think I like the 10 points there. Okay, then we move on to me the game of the weekend, and that is Baltimore at Buffalo. And as much as I like Buffalo, and they're kind of my Cinderella underdog team, although I don't know if you can call them an underdog. They're not in this game, clearly. But I'd like to see Buffalo go deep in the playoffs and maybe even challenge the Kansas City Chiefs. But in this one, with the weather, although I just got a note from Evan Grote, of course, who hosts Just Pod Baby, the podcast, which you can subscribe to anywhere, but also comes on the show every week with me as well. Evan said the weather report there is improving. So with that said, with the mixture of the run and the pass, I'm going to take the underdog in this one. I'm going to take Baltimore +3.
Yeah, I'm right with you there. I like Baltimore +3 as well. And I really liked what I saw from Lamar Jackson on the ground. And like I said earlier, Baltimore has just been so good these past 5 or 6 weeks. And so has Buffalo. I got to give them credit. They had their first win in the playoffs in, what, a quarter of a century almost?
Yeah.
So, but I think Baltimore, this is their year. Lamar gets over that hump. He won a playoff game. I'll take the Ravens +3.
There you go. Now, Tampa Bay at New Orleans, the battle of the old guys, right? So you have Drew Brees at 42 years old. You have Tom Brady at 43.
On the History Channel.
On the History Channel. Yeah, I love that graphic that they tweeted out. So you have these guys. It looks like, you know, it could be Drew Brees' last game if he doesn't win. Tom Brady looks like he's reinvigorated in Tampa Bay with what they've been able to do, and Bruce Arians with that offense. So you go in there. I like the Saints because they're at home. I like the Saints because of the offense. I think Drew Brees and the tools he's got there, including Kamara and some of these guys that can really get the go. And, of course, the former Raider at linebacker, right? I think they have a little more. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think New Orleans edges, despite the fact that the crazies from Bourbon Street won't be in the stadium. I like that one. And, by the way, this is the only game, David, because I agree with you everywhere else, this is the only game that I'm going over 52 as well. So I have the Saints -3 and the over 52.
Oh, my God. I was going to say this. I like the over. I actually like the first half over was 24, but now it's 25.5, and there's just no value in that at all.
Yeah.
But at 24, I thought it was great, but I still like over 52 in the game as a whole. But I agree with you also, if we're going to pick the game, I think the Saints are just the better team. And I don't want to be the guy who looks at the regular season too much, but that 38-3 beat down in week 9, I believe it's just too much to overlook. So I like the Saints in the game -3. But I really like the over 52.
Yeah. And I look at this one too, David, that Tampa Bay defense, which is very good and has been very good all year, has really tailed off towards the end of the season. Now the offense has made up for that for Tampa Bay, which is why they were able to win and get into the playoffs. But to me, I think against this New Orleans offense, it's going to be really tough for them to contain. I mean, we saw what happened last week with Tampa Bay and Washington, right? Washington with that terrible offense put up 23 points. And so that's why I love the over, but I also think New Orleans at home, Drew Brees, knowing that could be the last hurrah, I think he goes on top of this. And can you imagine Drew Brees, if he wins the game Sunday, David, he will have beaten Tom Brady 3 times in one season.
Yeah. When was the last time that's ever happened?
I don't know.
Never, never. I don't think that's ever happened.
I think Elway and Marino, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Elway, but that's a fair example too. So that's why I think I think we both love that both Buffalo Baltimore game, but I think the TV ratings, the fans, they're all going to be tuned into the Saints Bucks game.
No doubt about it. And that's going to be interesting. All right. Well, that's our picks. We're going to put these up on Twitter. So, you can follow me at LV Gully, GULLY. Then it is, at David Stepanian, STEPANIAN _. Right, David? I got it right this time, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you.
So we're gonna tweet these picks right now. David will send me his pick graphic as well, and I'll tweet those from the Silver and Black Today account later on as well. But that's our picks. We'll see how we do.
All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to be joined by attorney Michael Troiano. We're going to talk about Josh Jacobs, the decision of the DA here in Las Vegas not to charge him with driving under the influence, and what that means. And we'll get a little more explanation around what, if anything, would have been different if it was me or you behind the wheel that morning in the airport tunnel here in Las Vegas. You're with David and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.